picked up the mail one day back in April. There was a new edition of the only magazine that I still get in hard copy. Wooden Canoe Magazine is a small publication that caters to a dedicated group of wooden canoe builders, paddlers, and restorers. There in the edition was a familiar name next to an essay that he had written. It had been more than a decade since we had any contact inside the bubble of our then common workplace on the Chippewa National Forest. I wondered if he might be interested in doing an interview. Being northern Minnesota, I picked up the paper phone book and found his phone number listed there, and I gave him a call. I'm Jim Gallagher, and today on Paddle Minnesota, a conversation with a northern Minnesota writer and paddler. So I'm talking today with Mark Van Tassel of Rural Black Duck, and I guess that's sort of redundant, isn't it? All of Black Duck is pretty rural.
The whole thing.
You and I worked together a bit in Black Duck back in the late 90s. What I remember from those days were some of your stories about paddling. And I was a little surprised when I was flipping through that copy of Wooden Canoe Magazine and saw your essay. You were the 2018 winner of an essay contest sponsored by an Ely nonprofit called Story Portage. Tell us a little bit about that essay.
What it does is just kind of summarize my canoeing life from my first canoe up through the several that I own right now.
The main characters in Mark's essay are the handmade wood and canvas canoes that he owns and paddles. Mark began working with the Forest Service in Ely back in the 1970s, and it was there that Mark's affair with wooden canoes began. You've owned a few wooden canoes over the years. Why wood canvas canoes?
When I was in Ely, I really got kind of interested in wood canvas, simply because of the way they perform, the style, the size, the quietness, and the fact that they're handmade. I became acquainted with Joe Saliga in Ely, who made, I don't know how many canoes, 500, 600, 700, something like that. I ended up buying one of his canoes.
Joe Saliga built wood and canvas canoes with his wife, Nora, until she passed. He continued building until his death in 2005. So what do you remember about Joe? You knew him. Tell us a little bit about him.
Everywhere you go, he's just an excellent human being, an excellent craftsman. I don't know if I've seen anybody that approaches it. I mean, there's a lot of good canoe makers around, but Joe was one of the first, I think, to really put the quality in his canoes. I visited Joe with my canoe on top, his canoe. He likes to look over your boat and see how it's doing. You know, how is it holding up? You know, any problems with it? He ran his hand over the bottom of it and looked at the bow, and he says, you know, well, I don't think you've used it that much. I said, well, not as much as I used to, but I use it some. By that time, I had two canvas canoes, the Chestnut and the Saliga, and we put all our kids in there, and off we went into the boundary waters.
When Mark isn't paddling, he spends time maintaining his wood and canvas canoes and restoring others that he's picked up along the way.
Oh, I just kind of fell into this with a group of people that like to rebuild old wooden canoes. I'm telling you, it's addicting. There's something about putting something that somebody took so much care to put together originally and then be able to bring it back close to what it was. And all the time you're thinking of the people that made it and those that used it and all the places you've been with your canoes, whether they've been wooden or some other construction.
You've had decades of paddling experience leading up to writing your essay in the Story Portage essay contest. Tell us about some of the paddling trips that you've taken over the years.
When I worked in Ely, I had a friend named Dan. We looked at each summer's, okay, we're really going to hit the canoe trails this summer. And we were spending, you know, including our days on the job, you know, working full time in the summer. I bet we spent a third of the nights out on a trail, just exploring all over.
Mark's friend and paddling partner is Dan Litchfield. Dan lives and paddles from his home in Ely, Minnesota. Perhaps Mark's most demanding canoe trip took place in 1976 in northern Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba.
Dan and I were both working full-time, and I did have to quit my job. We kept asking ourselves, if we don't do this now, when are we going to do it? We left in July, came back the end of August. Our route was from near La Ronge on the Churchill. We paddled upstream. We crossed over a divide just north of Churchill Lake, got into the Clearwater River, downstream to Fort McMurray, downstream to Lake Athabasca, ended up covering about 1,200 miles. Variety of big lakes, river systems, going through Indian villages, going through cities. I think probably the biggest city we went through was Fort McMurray, Alberta, which I read about that now in the newspaper, all the things that are happening with the tar sands and all that. Amazing change, transformation.
Fort McMurray, Alberta, is now the central hub of the tar sands oil patch, the land that Mark and Dan paddled through, and the communities they visited have changed greatly since 1976.
The population is like 10 times. The growth in the tar sands business has expanded and moved on both sides of the river from when we were there. When we were there, they were just starting out in the whole process of developing that petroleum reserve. Now there's two bridges over the river where there were none before. It's tremendous impact on the native people there to switch your whole culture from subsistence to wage earner is just unbelievable within a matter of 20 years.
That's writer and paddler Mark Van Tassel, and you're listening to Paddle Minnesota on Northern Community Radio.
On these longer trips, part of the lure of going is the people you meet along the way. Sometimes you run into folks in trouble. A river system that actually flows out of Wollaston Lake, we ran into a person that was stranded there. He had been canoeing, dumped their canoe, him and his partner, in a rapids. Canoe was lost, outfit was lost, his partner was drowned, and he was just basically camped out along the river waiting for somebody to come and help him. He was stranded there for 18 days with no food, just the clothes on his back, not even any matches on his person. He was in a rough way. He told us that he had resigned himself to the fact that he'd probably never get picked up. He was a school teacher from California. I said, well, how did you pass the time? He said, I reread books in my mind, and I solved physics problems in my mind. I thought, oh. When you're out in the bush and you see others, you always paddle over and see what's going on. I mean, if you're camped somewhere and there's a boat going by, I don't care if it's native or white people, you stop in, you talk, you see where are you from, where are you going, what are you doing? And I mean, the natives especially, they're just interested. And we're interested in what they have to say, too. They know a lot.
As we talked about his paddling adventures, Mark became more animated. He loves the challenge of navigating through hundreds of miles of unfamiliar wilderness.
You look at the map and you go, how can you find your way through there? Then you get to the lake and it looks worse yet. There's 60 islands out in front of you and you go, you learn to stick with that map and look at it every few minutes.
What kind of reaction do you get when you talk about far north trips and places that you've paddled?
It's hard to find somebody that can really relate. I don't talk about it that much, except when I get with people that I know have experienced the same things. Might as well be talking about a foreign country.
Mark continues to write about his paddling adventures from his home near Black Duck. You may see him with a pretty wood canoe on top of whatever he happens to be driving at the time. Here's Mark reading from his award-winning story portage essay, For the Love of Canoes.
The real draw for me is the water and water travel, especially into lesser traveled wild watersheds. What could be better than working your way up a river system to its source to portage over a divide into another watershed as you watch the landscape, flora, and fauna change? Test your knowledge of navigation, weather, and wind patterns to see if your mental and physical mettle are up to the challenge. And at the end of the day, decide whether to camp or paddle through the night to make your objective. That's the canoeing life, whether in a sleek modern outfit or a historic canoe of days gone by. It's all for the love of canoes and where they can take you.